Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Todd Tomasello with Safeguard Your Soul Radio here on Blog Talk, and we have Judge Travis Bryan III on the line. Brother Travis, you still there?
Yes, I am, Todd. Good to be here this morning.
Absolutely, brother. A little coffee and Jesus. The only way to get them. Not the best, but the only way to get them morning started.
Absolutely. There's nothing better than a cup of coffee, the Word of God, and the Lord early in the morning, Todd.
Amen, brother. You know, I've often said there's a blessing in the bean. God has made coffee to, help us get going and to be blessed in that regard and have all the cells in our brain firing a little bit faster, et cetera. But we have a very exciting program here this morning slated, ladies and gentlemen. This is a 30-minute program, so it's going to go by real quick if you just put your seatbelt on. This is just a wonderful topic here. It speaks of the title is How Evil Destroys Itself. And Brother Travis has brought out something I've never seen brought out from the Bible. You know, the Bible is so multifaceted. There's so many golden platinum nuggets to behold. And the fellowship of the saints in the Word of God is so vital, as we'll see this morning. And I highly doubt that most people listening have ever beheld this phenomenon. We see throughout Scripture of how evil actually destroys self. Brother Travis, we were going to kind of start here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 8. Would you like me to read that passage here in a second?
That'd be great, Todd.
All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8.
Beginning 6 through 8. Yes, sir.
Yes, 6 through 8. I'm sorry. Howbeit we speak wisdom, verse 6, among them that are perfect, Paul writes, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Brother Travis?
And Todd, the part of the mystery that they don't seem to understand, these princes of the world, which I believe is referring to the evil spiritual powers as well as the authorities on earth that are used by the evil heavenly powers, they don't understand that by putting Jesus to death, they destroyed their own kingdom. They rendered themselves powerless. And by crucifying the Lord, the power of God and the life of God was liberated on the world. And all believers now, through that process, receive salvation. The very thing that Satan is trying to stop, he facilitated himself. By his activities at Calvary.
Amazing. You know, this epitomizes the statement that these beings are their own worst enemy, would you say?
Oh, absolutely. And Todd, this truth is sprinkled throughout the Bible. I first saw it in the book of Psalms. If you don't mind, let me quickly run through a few verses, and this is not an exhaustive list at all, in the book of Psalms that shows you this principle that evil is allowed by God to destroy itself. First, Psalm 9, 15 and 16. They are sunk down in the pit which they made. The wicked are ensnared in the work is ensnared in the work of his own hands. Psalm 5:10, destroy thou them, O God, let them fall by their own counsels. Psalm 10:2, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. Psalm 7:15, he made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. In verse 16, his mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down on his own pate. Psalm 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked. It just goes on and on, Todd, this principle of God allowing evil to destroy itself.
I mean, I'm looking at a list. It's an article on safeguardyoursoul.com that I posted probably a while back called Evil Destroys Itself, which is the title of today's radio program. And, I mean, I don't even think you listed just now any or many of the list of verses and psalms that you have here. So as I read through this again, you're right. There is an extensive list of how evil destroys itself. The one that comes to mind, which you, to me, and that you have put in here, is how Haman, one of the most classic examples in history, is how Haman was hung on the same gallows that he crafted created for Mordecai and the Jews in the book of Esther. What a classic example there, would you say?
Oh, Todd, that is one of the books that I first saw this principle. And although God's name is never mentioned in that book, the symbolism of the cross is all through there, the main part of which is the gallows that Haman built, evil Haman, who had been allowed to be the prime minister of the land. He builds these gallows to destroy Mordecai, who is the good guy in the story. And Haman ends up being killed on his own gallows. Now, that is a perfect picture of the cross of Christ and this mystery cross that Satan erected in his own yard, and it was in Haman's yard that this gallows was erected. In his own yard, the world, Satan erects the cross, and he's the one that is defeated there at Calvary, not the Lord Jesus, who was raised from the dead, Todd, and given transcendence and made an overcomer through this activity of Satan.
You know, brother, as you're talking here, this absolutely, I'd comment on this if you don't mind, Brother Travis, this should absolutely give great hope to the believer in the midst of this wicked and crooked generation where the devil and his agents war against us who put forth the word of God, that ultimately the enemy is going to be defeated by his own evil in the end, and justice is going to come. Is that correct?
He's been defeated by his own evil. He is being defeated, and he will be defeated by his own evil. This truth of the cross, this mystery, which this is a major aspect of the mystery, Todd, that has now been revealed through the life of the Lord Jesus and the explanation of the cross by the Apostle Paul. This hidden truth down through the ages is now being revealed and brought forth, that God allows evil to destroy itself. Let me give you an example of that. The Bible, the Lord Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Well, when you turn the other cheek and absorb the blows of evil, that is a picture of the cross and what Jesus did at Calvary, evil is destroyed. But when you retaliate, when you fight back, when you take up the sword back against evil and fight evil with evil, then evil is perpetuated. So the believer, when the believer takes up the cross, he is taking up the very vehicle of Satan's destruction. The cross, Todd, is our divine weapon. We don't fight the battle with carnal weapons. We don't fight with force and violence like Satan. We fight by absorbing the blows, by being vulnerable, Because when you absorb the blows, Todd, evil is destroyed in that moment. Evil dies when you take up the cross.
It's quenched, isn't it, brother? You know, I've got to say that on a personal level, I have begun to learn this, and it absolutely is truth. It is, evil has been, in every case that I've been blessed to be tested, has been absolutely quenched in the demonic rage of some people who don't even know me, but by their spirit, that evil enemy of all mankind that is possessing them. They have an enmity, as we see in the beginning when man fell in third chapter of Genesis. God has put an enmity in the earth between the seed of the woman, Jesus and his people, and the devil and his children. And without even saying a word, have you noticed, Brother Travis, and all believers that may be listening, some people just don't like you. And, you know, we'd like to call that a personality conflict, and it really is. But it's a personality of evil and good. Is that not right?
Absolutely. And, Todd, you know, this is one of the truths that brings you to a point of loving your enemies, because when you see that this truth of the mystery of the cross, that evil destroys itself and elevates the believer, you then come into a frame of mind where you can truly love your enemies, because you start to see them as agents and not enemies anymore. The things they do to you are just ushers to Christ through this truth.
Amen. That's kind of what happened to Paul when he watched and he participated in the murder, the martyrdom of Stephen. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Paul, when his life was turned upside down on Damascus Road right after that happened with Stephen, Paul became a dyer, an absorber of evil, instead of one who deals out blows of evil. Paul became one willing to be imprisoned instead of imprisoning people. Paul became a lover of his enemies instead of a persecutor of his enemies. This truth of the cross absolutely turned Paul's life and should turn ours upside down. We don't fight evil with evil anymore, Todd. We fight evil with good.
Amen. Romans chapter 12 sums that up beautifully, beginning in verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay. It's not a matter of if, but when. I, God says, will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Travis, as we're talking and seeing a historical thumbnail sketch of this phenomenon of evil defeating itself, I'm reminded of Psalm 37, which goes back and forth the whole psalm, contrasting the evil and the good. And he says in verse 1 that, and this should give great hope, this whole message to the believer, that justice, every scale will be balanced when the Lord returns, ultimately, and even some before then. Fret not thyself, verse 1 of Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. On and on. It goes all the way through this chapter, contrasting the evil and the good. And we can really take heart, I'd say, it's one of the things we can understand from this subject, Brother Travis, that God is going to balance every scale, just like he did in the case of Haman and Mordecai and the people of Israel. Is that correct?
Absolutely, Todd. And if you look in 37 of Psalms, and it says in 2, for they shall soon be cut down. Well, how are they cut down? You know, does God directly do that himself, or does he allow this process of evil destroying evil to take place? And he does the latter. Look down at verse 15 in that same chapter. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. There you see the principle again, that the way God destroys is by allowing evil to destroy itself. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen, Todd, but it is shot through and through the Bible. This truth.
I think, absolutely, man. I was noticing how you had 2 Chronicles 20, where verse 22, isn't that
there,
an
Todd.
Example? Yeah, let's do it. We'll read that passage.
Let's go there. Well, that's
Chronicles
a good one right there.
And let me just say this to all believers that are listening. I want to encourage you, as I've done for years, to read this chapter. There's so much in this chapter. If you look for a good place to read today, get into this chapter, and this is going to bless you to no end. Verse 22 through 24, 2 Chronicles, and when chapter 20, and when they began to sing and to praise, that is, the Lord's people, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And the Lord set the ambushes, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, these are all enemies of God, all three of these identities, by the way, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. What an absolute manifest example of this, about how God causes his own enemies to turn their own swords on each other and self-destroy.
And that's why I say, Todd, the cross on every page, because you see the cross right in that transaction, jumping off the page, that God allows evil to destroy itself. Who in the world would think that you could fight an enemy by going down the mountain singing praise, Todd? That is absurd to the natural mind. But see,
it really is.
That is the way of God's way of conquering, is to trust him, turn the battle over to him, and he will bring about this phenomenon of evil destroying itself. In the moment, Todd, when someone cuts you off in traffic, or someone abuses you or humiliates you, in that moment, if you'll just absorb that evil, Todd, that evil will die. And not only that, the person, the perpetrator of it, may be converted in that moment. Is the way Christianity is contagious, Todd, right here.
Isn't that where the greatest Christian that ever lived was converted? The Apostle Paul?
Absolutely.
I mean, he saw the love of Stephen praying for his murderers at the time of his death. He said, he asked the Lord to not lay it to their charge. This is the end of the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, folks. I grew up as a fighter, not only a boxer, and, grew up in a very violent city. But anyway, it's been a long road in my heart and mind to learn this, and I can tell you that it's yielded much great fruit. Brother Travis, I've been blessed to have him in my life to help me learn this from the Bible. And he's been gracious and patient, by the way, with me as one of his understudies, and it's a blessing that this is a glimpse of this is being captured on some of these radio programs. I want to encourage you. Brother Travis's shows, where we've interviewed him, have far and away been the most popular ones on the Blog Talk. The statistics show, I think it's nearly 9,000 listens already. And this Blog Talk radio program's only been going on a couple of months at the most. So anyway, I want you to get on there and look at those and listen to those audios, those programs, I should say, on the Blog Talk Radio Safeguard Your Soul channel that you're listening to right now. Go through the archive and look at the ones with Brother Travis. I highly and mostly recommend those. We need this message, Brother Travis, in this late hour before Christ's return. Jesus taught us to love our enemies, right, and to do good to those who despitefully use us and persecute us. And in the Beatitudes there in the end of the fifth chapter of Matthew, and in fact he says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. And he's actually not talking about sinless perfection there, to the best of my understanding. In that context, he's talking about having the same perfect or mature perspective toward all men who God blesses with sunshine and rain and all the general blessings of his earth. So that's the same outlook we're to have towards sinners. Is that correct, brother?
That is an offshoot of this truth we're discussing, that you bless your enemies, you love your enemies, and of course, perfection in that context, in that passage, is the highest level of love, which is to love people that are coming against you, Todd, that absorb the blows that they deal to you.
And that's what Jesus did when he came for us. Absolutely. While we were yet sinners. We can't lose sight of that. Is that correct, Brother Travis? Because while we were yet miserable, evil, rebellious, depraved sinners, Jesus came and died for us. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, and some will say, well, what are you recommending, that we be a doormat? No, we're not. We're saying you walk out into the world and stand against evil. But in this mysterious way that Jesus and Paul and Peter taught, and that is to let evil come against you and let it be destroyed in that transaction. Let evil destroy itself. Todd, when you see this truth, all of life becomes a win-win approach. I mean, the bad things to happen to you are you win. The good things mm-hmm. to happen to you, you win. So you have a win-win life when you start to see this truth of allowing evil to destroy itself. When we take up the cross, Todd, we co-opt Satan and make him our servant in the destruction of evil.
Yes. I mean, he is the Lord's monkey. And absolutely, let me read as we close here in the final minutes, the probably could be called the central passage we could anchor this in. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, we see the cross of Christ. For as much then as the children, that's the human race God created, are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, John 1, amen. That through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. The resurrection is the victory that came out of the death and burial. Brother Travis, is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. You hit it, Todd. That is a classic passage on this truth, that it was through the death that Satan caused that Satan himself and his power, the power of death, was destroyed. So evil destroyed itself right there in that verse reference, Todd.
Absolutely beautiful. You know, you point out also in this article, Evil Destroys Itself on SafeguardYourSoul.com, that Satan tries to sift Peter, thereby making him a stronger Christian. That is amazing.
It is, and the same with Paul, that it was the messenger of Satan, the thorn in the flesh, that kept Paul humble. Well, wait a minute. Satan wants arrogant people. He can use arrogant people, proud people. But when someone is humble, they're no longer usable by Satan. So Satan, through this thorn in the flesh, defeated his own purpose in the life of Paul.
Amen. It says here in Luke 22:31-32, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," that's Peter, "behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren." That's the resurrection right there, is the conversion, if you will, in type.
Yeah.
And Peter went on to preach, and to believe on the day of Pentecost, there were 8,000 people saved under the power of the Spirit as Peter preached. I would call that resurrection victory, wouldn't you, brother?
Exactly. We need to be sifted, Todd, and Satan is the sifter. It's the craziest thing you've ever seen.
It is. This is absolutely undeniable, and a phenomenon that I've personally seen working in my life, especially over the last recent years, and it has worked the glory of God. That's just a word of encouragement as a personal testimony, brother. I know you have many examples of this in your own life. In fact, one of them, while we were talking, I was sneaking over to Facebook and putting this message you had written a while back called On the Grumpy Old Man, and how in the gym the Lord told you to let him have your bike.
There it is.
And we've got about 2 or 3 minutes left. You want to finish with a little summation of that little story there about that grumpy old man in the gym, Brother Travis?
Well, very quickly, Todd, he came in grumpy that day, and there was no bike available, and he was upset, and he tried to get on another machine, and it wasn't working for him, and the Lord...
Now, understandably, he'd been kind of grumpy a lot, though, huh, in previous days.
Long time.
Okay. He's known for that, right?
Actually, we hadn't spoken to each other for a year because I didn't apply this truth a year earlier. We were ugly to each other, but the second time around, the Lord allowed me to get it right, and He said, "Get off the bike and give it to the old man." And I said, "Lord, I can't reward his bad conduct toward me. That's not right. That shouldn't be." And again, the Lord says, "Give him your bike," with a smile on the Lord's face. And the third time he told me that, Todd, I got off the bike, and the grumpy old man walking by, "Here, take my bike." And he sort of grumbled and got on it, and we rode for a while. And then the guy next to him got off his bike, so I went back down there and climbed on next to the grumpy old man. And the next thing I knew, Todd, he had reached over and grabbed my arm in a soft way, and I turned to him, and he said, "I want to thank you for giving me this bike. You didn't have to do that." And Todd, for the next 30 minutes, we had the greatest conversation you could imagine, because, through the cross, Todd, God transforms the hearts of people in us and around us.
Yes. What I'm hearing here, many times we... And probably with a good motive, but not actually God's method or way. We've got about 60 seconds left here. We try to see change in others through our own efforts, and God is telling us to deny yourself, take up your cross, and just simply render obedience to me, and I will bring about the change in you, which is what we should mostly be concerned with, and through you in others. Paul said, "So then death worketh in us, but life in you." As death works in us, saints, the life, the resurrection life of Jesus Christ is going to work through us into the lives of others. And that's the only way that ministry can actually transpire, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we praise you for these moments in your word. Lord, your hand be upon your children listening, Lord, to hear your truth and only what you would have them to have as understanding. In the name of Jesus, Lord, anoint us to the burial, death and burial of self, that you might be glorified in raising us up for your glory. to please you alone, now and forever, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.